My name is Roger Taylor, and I was graduated from this terrific college in 1963. It is my privilege this morning, on behalf of the college, to confer three honorary degrees. But first, I would like to take just a moment to recognize several elected officials who have joined us for this celebration this morning. From the 4th Ward of the City of Galesburg, our alderman, the Knox alderman, Lomac Payton, the mayor, of the great city of Galesburg, the Honorable Gary Smith, from the 47th Illinois Senate District, Senator John Sullivan. From the 37th Illinois Senate District, which includes Galesburg, Dale Reisinger. From the 91st District, I think, Michael Smith. He may not be here, not here. And from just down the road in Gilson, an individual for whom public service is not just a vocation and an avocation, it is a passion that he pursues with joy. Knox College, education, and the citizens of the 74th House District in Illinois have no better friend and advocate than my friend Don Moffitt. And I would also like to recognize a number of men and women. You'll see them scattered around wearing the purple shirts. They were here this week setting up this venue. They got here well before 6 o'clock with towels to wipe off the early morning rain and to assure that the rain will not resume until we have finished this exercise. The men and women of the Knox College Facility Service staff. Professor Emeritus Rodney Davis will present the first candidate for an honorary degree.
Mr. President.
Professor Davis.
The first honorary doctorate ever given by Knox College was conferred on Abraham Lincoln in 1860. It is therefore appropriate that we should similarly honor a man who has become one of the foremost interpreters of Lincoln's life and career on this day, nearly 150 years after Lincoln was so distinguished. It is my very great pleasure to present Dr. Douglas Lawson Wilson for the honorary degree of Doctor of Humane Letters. We have but a limited amount of time for these citations, and such draconian requirements preclude my even beginning to properly list and evaluate all the reasons why Douglas Wilson should be on this platform today. When he came to the Knox College English Department in 1961, Mr. Wilson hit the ground running. Almost immediately, he became well known as one of the most rigorous teachers on the Knox faculty. And what he demanded of students, he more than demanded of himself in extraordinary measure. He mastered the canons and the techniques of not one but several fields. Among other things, he became a potter, so accomplished that his wares were for sale in several area shops in the late 1960s. Better known is the fact that he mastered the attendant literature and became a respected scholar of George Santayana, Mormonism in Illinois, and the agrarian tradition in America, which is something that he pursued and is pursuing experientially as well as academically. He's been an academic innovator, co-founding the Interdisciplinary American Studies Program at Knox, and instituting and co-directing Knox's Farm Term in 1971. The direct ancestor of the successful biennial spring term academic program that is now located at Green Oaks. Between 1972 and 1991, he directed the Knox College Library, and made it what it ought to be, the intellectual center of the Knox campus. And he developed a research interest in Thomas Jefferson that produced upwards of 24 scholarly articles and at least 3 books, and led to his appointment in 1994 to a 4-year tenure as the first director of the International Center for Jefferson Studies at Monticello. Now, all of this sounds like the stuff of a whole career already, but only now are we finally getting to Abraham Lincoln. Mr. Wilson's interest in what Thomas Jefferson read in his formative years led him to ask the same question about Abraham Lincoln, and one thing so led to another that Mr. Wilson had already published several articles on Lincoln's pre-presidential years before leaving for Monticello. While in Virginia, he continued work on Lincoln, and upon returning to Knox in 1998, he co-founded what he has since called a failed retirement project, the Lincoln Studies Center at Knox College. For retirement has hardly been the game at the Lincoln Studies Center. In the 9 years of its activity, Lincoln work done by Mr. Wilson and his co-director has led to the publication of yet more articles, 5 more books, and a project to transcribe and annotate the bulk of the material in the Library of Congress's Abraham Lincoln papers. One of these books is the first in the Lincoln Studies Center's new publication series, and 2 of them, authored exclusively by Mr. Wilson, have been awarded the Lincoln Prize, one of the most prestigious and the most lucrative prize that is conferred on an American historian. One of the most recent of these books by Mr. Wilson, Lincoln's Sword, which was published this last November, Doris Kearns Goodwin wrote of this book that, quote, it is so good that it will shape Lincoln scholarship for generations. Can there be a higher accolade than that? Mr. President, in recognition of these extraordinary scholarly and academic contributions to the life of the mind at Knox College and the world at large, I'm proud to present my friend and colleague for over 40 years, Professor Douglas Wilson, for the degree of Doctor of Humane Letters.
Professor Wilson, by the authority of the General Assembly of the State of Illinois, vested in the Board of Trustees of Knox College and by them delegated to me, I hereby confer upon you the honorary degree of Doctor of Letters with all the privileges, honors, and dignities which here and elsewhere pertain. Professor Singer will present the next candidate for an honorary degree.
Mr. President.
Professor Singer.
It is my privilege to present Janet McKinley, Chair of the Oxfam America Board of Directors and a member of the Board of Trustees of the Asia Foundation, for the degree of Doctor of Humane Letters. Some years ago, Janet McKinley graduated from college and sat through a commencement exercise like this one. A history major who graduated summa cum laude, she sat in hot robes and waited for her name to be called, which is a feeling that you can probably relate to. I can imagine her graduation especially clearly because she and I graduated from the same college and probably sat on the same folding chairs, waiting for our diplomas on a, hopefully in her case, sunny day. Since accepting her diploma from Smith College, Janet McKinley has gone on to do extraordinary things. She was a Fulbright scholar at the University of Krakow in Poland and graduated from the New York University Graduate School of Business. She constructed a stunning career in finance and recently retired as a director of Capital Research and Management Company, which oversees mutual fund assets totaling more than $700 billion. She was also chair of the Income Fund of America. Janet McKinley defies a widespread stereotype of managers of mutual funds. She is, in fact, the polar opposite of Gordon Gekko, whom many will remember as the movie character who told Charlie Sheen, "Greed is good." In stark contrast, Janet McKinley has worked diligently to increase the wealth of poor people around the world through microfinance projects. Microfinance projects work to provide financial services, like microcredit or microinsurance, to very poor people living around the world. People living in poverty are often not considered worthy of credit. They lack collateral, steady employment, and a verifiable credit history, and therefore cannot meet even the most minimal qualifications to gain access to traditional credit. But what Janet McKinley has shown is that through microfinance, often amounts as small as $100, very poor people, often women, are often able to accumulate savings or to purchase insurance policies. As a result, they are better able to have choices about where to live and what kind of work to do, and they are better able to respond to economic and social risks. When she retired from capital, Janet McKinley focused her considerable energies and experiences on the question of how to find more effective, sustainable ways to address and alleviate global poverty. She has been involved in efforts to encourage microloans in India and in the Philippines, and recently collaborated with her husband and with eBay founder Pierre Omidyar to make the largest private philanthropic contribution ever made to support microfinance programs. It is time to dramatically scale up the delivery of financial services to poor women and their families, she has said. They have proven to be good customers who, through access to credit, insurance, and savings accounts, can improve their lives with dignity. Janet McKinley is now chair of Oxfam America, an organization working toward, and I quote, "a world in which all people shall know freedom to achieve their fullest potential and to live secure from the dangers of hunger, deprivation, and oppression." Mr. President, in honor of her international and humanitarian commitments and of her vigorous career in the generally competing worlds of finance and poverty, it is my pleasure to present Janet McKinley for the degree of Doctor of Humane Letters.
Ms. McKinley, by authority delegated to me, I hereby confer upon you the honorary degree of Doctor of Humane Letters with all the privileges, honors, and dignities which here and elsewhere pertain. Professor Lance Factor will present the third candidate for an honorary degree.
President Taylor.
Professor Factor.
A little known fact about Knox College is that we follow what might be called an architectural clock when calling presidents to the sacred steps of Old Main. Abraham Lincoln, a Republican, came when Old Main sparkled in her very first year. Today, in Old Main's 150th year, we welcome President Clinton, a Democrat, to our South Porch. When striking a balance between the two parties, we are nothing if not patient and deliberate. And I am pleased to report that both the man and the building are in their prime. When Bill Clinton left office, he eschewed the attractions of the endless fairways in the eternally vexing putting greens, in favor of a commitment to devote his energy, intelligence, and experience to solving some of the world's most pressing problems. He formed the William J. Clinton Foundation to meet the challenges of global interdependence, with specific emphasis on programs in health, economic empowerment, leadership development, and racial, ethnic, and religious reconciliation. Immediate attention was given to the international causes, such as the treatment of HIV/AIDS and the mitigation of global warming. President Clinton's vision is to address each with an initiative that strikes at the core of the problem. The Urban Enterprise Initiative helps small business owners compete. The Urban Enterprise, the Healthy Schools Plan tackles the runaway problem of childhood obesity. And the HIV/AIDS Initiative helps governments negotiate reduced costs for much-needed drugs and medical services. Recently, the initiative brought together over 1,000 leaders and registered 213 individual and corporate commitments totaling in excess of $7.3 billion. Every effort is a partnership of national leaders, corporate executives, professionals, and legions of caring individuals. A similar inspiring example can be found in the exemplary efforts of President Clinton and the senior President Bush to solicit donations and to organize relief efforts, first for the survivors of the Asian tsunami and then again for those of Hurricane Katrina. In a time of war, we must treasure and support the works of peace and charity, hoping for the day when they will be the common coin of the people of the world. President Taylor, I strongly and most earnestly recommend that you and our honored trustees immediately review this man's resume and offer him a job. I have just touched upon one point on a very long list of achievements, and I have yet to read the pages that describe his Rhodes Scholarship at Oxford, his years in the Oval Office, his best-selling autobiography, and his well-known technique for playing the saxophone. Now, it is true that he currently holds no office, he has never received tenure, and he did not hold his most recent position for more than 8 years. However, all of that can be explained by certain sentences in the United States Constitution that are generally, but not universally, understood to prevent such a thing. Surely Knox has a position for this man somewhere, perhaps as the head of the new Department of Humanitarian Service. Our new department will have a curriculum, of course, and many, many students. There must be a guiding metaphor, and for that purpose, I adapt one provided by St. Thomas Aquinas. Each of our lives might be seen as if from a high mountain peak. In the valley below, there is a frozen river. It is the unalterable past, where nothing can be changed. At the summit, the air is rarefied but clear. It is the present moment, drained of all fear and anxiety. On the horizon, we dimly discern the men and women of future generations. All who are there will be shaped by our decisions and actions. We strain to see the expression on their faces. Do they regard us with circumspection, puzzled by what we have done? Or are they smiling with appreciation for our wisdom, foresight, and generosity in making a better world? Mr. President, from your vantage point on this south porch of Old Main, look upon the class of 2007 with favor. They are ready to be the good citizens of our common future. Hear them say in unison, "Yes, we can."
Yes, we can.
And to you, dear seniors, to your families and guests, to our honored alumni and trustees, and to my esteemed colleagues, may I present the newest member of the class of 2007, William Jefferson Clinton, for the degree of Doctor of Humane Letters.
Mr. President, by authority delegated to me, I hereby confer upon you the honorary degree of Doctor of Humane Letters with all of the privileges, honors, and dignities which here and elsewhere pertain.